in my pickup this past week, and I punched the CD player, and that very song you just sang came up. You singing it, you gave me a CD player, a CD tape about, oh, maybe 2 years ago, and that song's blessed me so many times, and thank you for singing it for us today. Aren't you glad God's got a word for when we worry? Anybody here ever worried? Maybe just a little bit. But the truth is, when the Lord saved us, He didn't gear us where we would never worry. He just geared us with an answer for our worry, what to do when we do worry. And so in your outline this morning, in your study guide, I've got some passages and just want to refer to most of them and then really spend some time in Matthew chapter 6 primarily for our time together this morning. I'll talk to you about a word for the worrier. Now, you said, Brother Jackie, haven't you preached Don't Worry before? Oh, yes. In fact, every year I try to preach at least one or two times on emotions that all of us feel, anger and grief and other things. And one of the things I'm aware of is the devil's toolbox is full of all kinds of tools. And one of them is our emotions. And he can use worry to cause to steal our joy and to steal our victory and to paint the world's landscape in dark colors, not remembering we serve such a great, great God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God." That "be careful for nothing" translates into this: stop worrying. Don't worry. But you're thinking, Brother Jackie, if you were married to who I was, you'd worry too. Or Brother Jackie, if you worked where I worked, or Brother Jackie, if you had to deal with what I had to deal with, you'd worry too. Well, you're probably right. But the truth is, the Lord doesn't want us to stay parked in that spot called worry. He wants us to deal with it. We're going to talk about some ways to deal with worry victoriously in a wonderful, wonderfully positive way this morning. I love the story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's a story of Jesus going to the little village of Bethany to visit the home of Mary and Martha. Y'all remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus, don't you? Yeah. They were some of the closest friends Jesus had. And when they went there, some of you ladies remind me of, well, let me be sure I clarify that. You remind me of Martha, but in a good way. Martha had said, "Jesus," and this is not in the text. This is just my sanctified imagination. "Jesus, have you had supper yet?" I always love it when people are concerned about my nourishment. And Jesus probably responded, "No." He said, "Well, I want you to stay for supper." And of course, we're not given that conversation, but Jesus did stay for supper. But during supper, something happened. Martha was busy fixing supper. I mean, she's getting the food ready. She's getting the table ready, getting the kitchen ready. And Mary, her sister, was sitting in the den with Jesus, just googly-eyed over her love for the Master. For you see, she had not been saved a long time, and she was still dealing with the wonder and the thrill of what it means to know the Lord. And Martha, bless Martha's heart, she had a good heart, but she got frustrated. You ever get frustrated with people in your family?
Yes.
Now, don't stand up and give testimony now, but I... we all have moments like that. "Jesus, would you do something with that girl? Would you tell her to get up from what she's doing?" She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, and Martha was preparing supper. She was also worrying. How am I going to get this meal done with my sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus? And Jesus' response was, "Martha, Martha," and it's so sweet, "thou art encumbered about many things." You're bothered about a lot of stuff. And I understand that. There's a lot of things in life that get our attention. But Mary hath chosen the best part. You see, not only is she, are you preparing supper, she's learning what it means to worship at the feet of her Master. And Jesus was saying to Mary, or to Martha, "Martha, it's a good thing you're doing. But don't be a worrier. Be a worshiper. And give yourself to worshiping, and worry will take care of itself. And so that wonderful passage reminds me of the truths that are found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. But just before we read Matthew 6, 19 through 34, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Simon Peter said to the church, we ought to cast all of our care upon the Lord, for he what? Cares for us. And I love Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Look with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'd like to begin in verse 19, a very familiar passage. It talks about the words for the worrier. And if you've ever thought, if you ever been in service like this, and you thought, Brother Jackie has been reading my mail. Brother Jack has been following along behind me, and he's talking to somebody because he knows some things I'm struggling with. Well, we're talking about some things we all struggle with. Bruce, you ever worried?
No, not me.
I would. I knew that was coming.
You don't lie.
Pardon?
You don't lie.
He doesn't lie either. Well, the truth is, God's got a word for the worrier. And listen to chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But notice, this is a way to lay up treasures in heaven. I don't understand all about that. But somehow, how we serve the Lord here is going to be reflected in our worship of the Lord and our walk with the Lord in glory. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I love verses 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If you're focused on the good things in life, they're going to be reflected in every area of your life. But if thine eye be evil, that is focused on dark things, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So much of your life is determined by your focus and the things that you fix your attention upon. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money, or God and the material. Therefore I say unto you, and there it is, three times in this passage, Jesus is going to say, in the words of King James, we would say, don't worry, stop worrying, take no thought of tomorrow, verse 25, for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you should put on is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment. Don't worry about the daily things in life. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they are? Which of you, I love verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit or 18 inches or really add any dimension under your stature? Who here can make yourself taller? Now, you ladies realize that you are the exception of that. When I see you walk in with high heels, I think, Lord, please don't let her fall. It'll take 5 minutes to hit the ground.
We're thinking the same thing.
The ladies are thinking the same thing. And why take you thought for raiment? What you're going to put on? Oh, listen, I should have gotten Libby to share a testimony here. Libby always feels led to go shopping. I just thought I'd get an amen from some lady in support of the pastor's wife. And we go to some place, and I know when we go, there are a couple of stores she's going to feel led to go to. And don't y'all look so spiritual, ladies. I've talked to your husbands, and y'all are the same way. And I'll say, what are you going to get? She said, I don't know. I'm just looking. That's what Jesus was talking about. Consider the lilies of the field. By the way, fellas, that's not exclusive to ladies. We do the same thing. It may be hunting stuff, or it may be camping stuff, or maybe car stuff. we all give ourselves to looking a lot for stuff. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Look at the flowers. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? There it is, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, he's not saying don't care about those things, but don't focus on those things. Don't spend your life trying to figure out all the material things that are involved in life. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Lost people live life on that level, and you're not lost anymore. You've got on a higher plane I dwell, and I know that with my Lord I know all is well, the song says. We live on a different plane. For your heavenly Father, in verse 32, knoweth that you have need of these things. But verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the day thereof. Now in the next few moments, I want us just to take a brief glance at some of the principles God's Word shares about not worrying. And the first principle is the problem of worry. If you've never had this problem, just hang on, it'll be along before long. There'll be something that can come up in your life, health or finances or relationships, or you can fill in the blank. And there's some things I think that are important for us to understand when it comes to worry. If Jesus could say, don't stop worrying, don't worry, at least three times in this passage, if he could tell us a story of Mary and Martha, if he could tell us a story, well, so many stories in the Word of God about how God provides our needs, he wants us to know about what his Word says about this thing called worry. The first thing that I've jotted down here for us just to consider together this morning is the problem of worry. First of all, worry is destructive. Worry is destructive. In Matthew's Gospel, the passage we just now read, he talked about focusing on darkness. And if the eye is full of darkness, then the body is full of darkness. And here's the principle. If all you do is fret and worry about things, by the way, worry never changed anything. Worry never fixed anything. Worry never solved anything. It just makes it worse, really, and makes us feel worse for worrying over it. Worry is destructive. It's called darkness. James says, I like this, James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It's one thing to say, I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King. We're singing through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Then we go home, and the mail has not brought that piece of mail that we're looking forward to, or somebody in the family gives us a bad report about somebody's health, and our faith just comes crashing down. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what's going on in life that I don't understand? The problem of worry, worm is destructive. Worry is that, James called it being a double-minded man, which leaves us unstable in all of our ways. It's destructive. It steals our joy, steals our peace, and steals our victory. Worry is not only destructive, it's disabling. Jesus said you can't serve God and the world too. You can't have the same philosophy of the world and have the victory that's ours in the Lord Jesus. So he talks about the problem of worry. Worry is useless. In verse 27 and following, he talks about you can't make yourself taller. And I wish by just praying, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could lose weight just by praying? Yes. Well, I love people. It seemed like everywhere I've gone recently, people have said to me, Brother Jackie, you're losing weight. And my response is yes, but I'm reminded of that old saying, what are these among so many? And you'll get that later on. Worry is useless. You can't add any standing to your stature. You really can't change much. Worry is faithless. Oh, ye of little faith, even the unbeliever can worry and fret. And the world looks to us to be something different. Worry is carnal. Remember that I've just mentioned that same thing about unbelievers. It's fleshly. It's more like the world than like the Lord. And there's so many other things we can say about worry, but just to lay the foundation that it would be a point of real victory in our lives if we could really discover the joy and the victory of not worrying and fretting over stuff. I want to share with you the heart of the message this morning. And I remember one of my preaching professors said at Southwestern Seminary, when you preach on Sunday, remember, give people truth to take home on Monday. Give them something that'll help them get through their week and get through the next struggle in life. Well, here it is. God's prescription for worry. First of all, in verse 33 of our text we just now read, get your priorities in order. Jesus said, if you want to deal with worry, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Where are your priorities? If somebody were to evaluate your life and reflect your life to you, would they say, I see in you a love for Jesus and a commitment to Christ and a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I've learned and am continuing to learn that there's nothing in my life that I will ever face. By the way, tonight, if you can, I hope that you'll be here. I want to preach tonight a message entitled, How God Wants to Use Adversity in Your Life. We're dealing with worry this morning and adversity tonight. Because I realize that no matter how much you love Jesus, we're going to face storms. We're going to face problems. We're going to face crises in life's issues. Get your priorities in order. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Number two, I like this one. Live in the present. Do not worry about tomorrow. You've got enough on your plate today. And I'm not sure what version I got that from, but it's true. Live in the present. It's all right to visit yesterday. It's all right. We love our memories. We love to go down memory lane. And the older I get, the more I do that. That's all right. But don't live in yesterday. You can't go back and relive it, but you can learn from it. And you can grow through it. Live in the present. And don't worry about the things you can't change, especially things that happened yesterday. Just learn from them and ask the Lord how you can be better because of them. Number three, how do we deal with worry? Celebrate the Lord's promises, his power, and purpose. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice when you don't understand what's going on. Rejoice when you can't change what's going on. You say, Brother Jackie, that's easy for you to say. No, I'm just telling you what the Lord said. Rejoice in the Lord always. You're not rejoicing in your strength. You're not rejoicing in your power. You're not rejoicing in your ability to cope. You're rejoicing in a relationship of faith that knows God can handle this. What do you do when you worry? You live in the present. You celebrate the Lord's promises, his power, and his purpose. Rejoice in the Lord always. I love this in Philippians 4:6. Talk to the Lord about your concerns. Be careful for nothing. Or stop worrying. Through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God about your concerns. Casting all your cares upon the Lord, for he what?
Cares
for you. We're talking about a word for the worrier. Claim God's promise of peace. When you're struggling with worry and things in life you don't understand, claim God's promise of peace. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard. And that guard is a military term. It's a picture of a watchman walking up and down, guarding the gates of the city. And a garrison is being put around the city to protect it. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard, garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I particularly love Isaiah 26:3. You don't need to turn there. Just be aware it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His peace is everlasting. His promises are unbreakable. His power is unmatchable. Admit that you need God's help. Humble yourself before God that he might exalt you in due time. It's all right to get honest with God. He already knows. He knows what you're made of. He knows your limitations. He knows what you're struggling with. It's all right. Just admit to God you can't get through this on your own. And by the way, if you don't know Jesus, there are a lot of reasons to be saved. A lot of reasons. First of all, to escape hell and to make heaven by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. To discover life and have life more abundantly. But the truth is, we need strength to deal with the stuff in life. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough. We're not equipped enough to deal with the worries that come and the problems that come. Admit that you need God's help. I like this one. Give your worries to Jesus and refuse to take them back, casting all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Give your worries to Jesus and refuse to take them back. There are a lot of reasons to be saved, but one of them is we've got a God who cares about our concerns and our burdens. I put a little note here. I just want to leave you with it. Conclusion. Do what you can. What do you do when you worry? You do what you can. You let God do what you can. Determined to be a worshiper and not a worrier. Remember Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Are you worried about anything? Cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand and give him the victory. Give him the glory for answering prayers even before you can see the answer coming. Cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. I wish you'd just bow with me for a moment. In just a little while, two of our precious young people are going to be baptized, Megan and Josiah. And I'm going to ask them and their folks that will be going with them to the baptistry, family or family members or friends. I want you to go ahead and slip on out while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.